Okay, let's go back to the Easter morning survey that I have been trying to take. How many of you watch shows like Criminal Minds, Bones, movies like World War Z, shows like Walking Dead? Have you seen? Okay, very good, very good. That's what I thought so. I thought that was the case. Twilight Saga, I forgot that one. Anybody? All right. Well, so, okay. Yeah, I thought, right. Okay, very good. Now, here's what I think about these things. And thank you for not lying in church and answering those questions. One of the things that points to in our culture, that we want to break the confinements that we feel that we're in. And some of those confinements are that the dark side of our personality, of our life, is not welcome and shouldn't be brought out. And the fascination with those kinds of shows and books and those sorts of things are really a broadening of our definition of what is dark, so that what's dark in us can be acceptable, at least to us. And there's that kind of undercurrent, you might say, in our culture, where we receive that darkness in some way and accept it in ourselves. In fact, it wasn't all that long ago that to preach on Easter morning meant you had to convince everyone that one person rose from the dead. Today, you have to convince, see, the spirits are trying to stop me from telling you this. It's not going to work. Today, what has to happen is that we have to convince people that only one has risen from the dead. There's all these dead walking around. Sonny, should I do something? Okay, that sounds good. I'd like to continue, but people are listening to the noise. Okay. So, the breaking of that confinement in our culture is reflected in two ways. And one of them is zombies, walking dead, murder, just the kind of the gruesomeness that is on a lot of TV shows, all of that. And that's, we want to break out of the condemnation of what is really a part of ourselves. That's very interesting, I think. Very interesting, because the positive side of that is that there is a drive in our culture to really become everything that you were meant to be, that everything about you would be accepted. And everything about everyone else would be accepted. And I think that that's an excellent thing. I also think this, that there is one thing that every zombie story, every fantasy book in that genre, everything about dead people walking around cannot give you. There's one thing it cannot give you. And that is the capacity to break every barrier. So if you break the barrier of judgment and feel free to look on your dark side, the only place that goes is to the edge of your dark side. How do you get out of that? By the resurrection of Jesus. He is the one who broke every possible confinement that we have, even death itself. And no zombie can break that. You receive a capacity from the risen Christ to live in a context, if you will, because I don't know what else to call it, in which everything you were created to be is released. Everything that you dream of is now attainable, and you are moving towards a kingdom in which no one is hungry, no one is held back, no one is sick, and nothing like that happens, and you are able to move vastly beyond those confinements. It breaks every last barrier. Now, personally, what I find is that movies like World War Z and so forth, they do not go far enough in their rebellion. It's a rebellious genre, and we have a rebellion that goes past that. We have a primal rebellion, a rebellion that says even that darkness does not hold us back, no matter how much we accept it. Nothing holds us back, and we actually rebel against every single barrier and wall that the kingdom of darkness would put up against us. That's what Jesus gives us today. Now, what we can do is receive that and hold that and not be judgmental about any darkness that's in anyone's life, including our own, but realize that Jesus actually descended into the depths of hell and met us there. And when you descend there, he's already there. And there is no judgment about that. What there is the breaking, the rebellion against that barrier so that you can move through that in the power of his resurrection. Now, that's what we see with Mary at the tomb today. And we see Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. She had witnessed Jesus being brutally crucified, absolutely brutally crucified. And as you will recall, he was physically tortured beyond recognition as a human being. And she saw that. And she knew that he was in the tomb over that Sabbath day, and they needed to just leave him there and not do any work, according to their tradition, until Sunday. So she shows up on Sunday morning, wanting to prepare him for a proper burial. He's not there. And she's quite upset. You know, all kinds of things go through your mind. He could have been stolen. But now what? And there's somebody there who she thinks is the gardener. And, you know, who are you looking for? Why are you crying? What's going on? And just in that half a minute, Jesus finally says to her, Mary. Now that's, in most English Bibles, it says Mary. What's going on in the Greek and the Aramaic there is he calls her Miriam. The more formal way of being addressed. It's Mary's kind of a nickname of that day. And she hears it. She not only hears her full name, Miriam, she hears it in her mother tongue, which is Aramaic. The language that Jesus was raised in as a boy, as well as many of his followers, was Aramaic. So he says, Miriam, and she starts receiving that, and something starts resonating deep within her heart, deep within her soul, something that had never resonated quite like that before, as he starts calling the name which was hers from before time. And he begins restoring her into that place, into that area, into that arena where she will be completely free, completely able, completely to be everything she was created to be. And he's creating within her that capacity, just as he created the world by speaking. As you remember, God said, let there be light, and there was. So God says, Miriam, and there was. And she starts coming out. Now, what happens with her in her response is that she wants to go over and, you know, grab the robe. And he says, wait a minute. Don't cling to me. Now, it's not because the robe would have had supernatural electrical powers or anything like that. She'd been roasted. Nothing like that would have happened. She hears his voice call her by name. And what does she want? Her first reaction is to go back to what it was when he walked the earth just a few days before that. She had never seen anyone like that, never seen miracles like that, never heard teaching like that, never followed anyone who acted and did the things that he did. And she wanted that back again. She was looking back into the dark side. It's almost like what drives us to turn on The Walking Dead. Then watch it. She wants the chance, no matter how dark it might have been, how brutal it might have been, to go back and make sure she caught everything from this man. And Jesus says, wait. Don't cling to that. Instead, Miriam, go and tell my brothers. With that, she became the first witness of the resurrection. And by being such, the first apostle of the church. Opened up incredible things. And she goes and tells them, and you know, we heard it, they run. Check it out. Incredible. Wow. All right. Now, those are the kinds of things that happen to us. Because what's natural for us, particularly as you know, we gain confidence, we mature in certain areas of our life, we gain skill, we don't want to lose it. And if we move on a little bit, we want to sometimes go back and catch what might have been missed. Catch everything about it. Not let any of it go. Even if it means going back to something that's dead. That's dark. There's something in that that went on before, that we engage with now, and we look to him and we hear him call our name, and it's the name that begins resonating within our soul in a way that no other voice resonates within us and creates within us a capacity to move into everything that we have been created to be and to do. And it comes in the power of that resurrection. And no matter what may have been lost, he still calls that name, your name. And you still move into the next level of who you are because of Jesus. And even if you have dark thoughts, things that you wouldn't want anyone to know, guilt or grieving that is deep, he does not condemn that. He recognizes it. He was there. And in that, he calls your name by the sound of life resonating through your soul. That's what this day is about. That's what he calls out to you right now. And what we will be doing in the weeks to come, next week and the weeks of the Easter season, is to be looking at how that works in the different areas of our life. When he calls your name and begins creating within you a new capacity to move past condemnation into all that you are, what he's doing is he's making you an instrument of peace, an instrument of wholeness. And that will be able to be shared with other people. And it'll be able to be shared with other people in a manner that he creates households of peace. And households of peace experience that wholeness and wellness and life of God in all its areas of its life, in its relationships, in its business, in its spiritual life, all of it. And all of that comes from him calling you by your name, the name you've had from before time. As you receive it and move into it, you start to be able to be released into the fullness of what you've desired all along anyway. and don't need to look into the dark places. You just know he's there. No matter where you are, he's there, moving you into that household of peace. We'll be looking at how that works here among us, how that works in our relationships, how that works for St. Francis, how that works for you over the weeks to come. That change, that one thing, hearing him call you by name, begins to release the mercy and the life of God in ways that you were created to receive and walk in. So my questions for you this morning are this. How do you hear God calling your name? And then just like he asked Mary to take some steps after she heard that, what are the steps he's asking you to take? Because you've heard the voice of Jesus call you by name. Please stand. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would clear away any noise that's not you, so that in these moments we might hear your voice call us by name. Amen.